Yesterday, today, and forever. And believing you have come down, O God, with a great message in this hour, a shout to get us ready for the rapture. Lord, help us, O God, to yield ourselves to that great gift of your Holy Spirit, which is among us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This evening, we're going to look at Faith in God's Fivefold Ministry, Part 2. The real gift is getting yourself out of the way. This evening we're going to continue our study of faith for receiving a fivefold ministry. And as you may recall, on Sunday we showed the comparison between the true fivefold minister and a true translator. Because some would say it is okay for people to translate the message into other languages, but they oppose a true fivefold minister breaking down the message. I showed you how that thought is totally hypocritical in nature, because to truly translate the message, you must first have an understanding of the message and a full understanding of the English language plus the native language, the tongue, in which you're translating. And you can't translate or be a fivefold minister, as Brother Brown said, if you haven't, when you talk about the ministry, so you have to meet the pillar of fire on the backside of the desert. In other words, you have to have the Holy Ghost. Both the fivefold minister and the translator will have to take the words of the prophet and place them into their own words in order to bring the thought from the prophet to the people that they're addressing through their ministry. As I said, some feel it is okay to translate, but they totally oppose true fivefold ministers doing what they are called to do, which is to break down the message and feed it to the people. Both the fivefold minister and the translator must take the word which William Branham spoke and then present those words into thoughts and then bring them from thought back into words again that the people will understand. For every word spoken begins with a thought, and if you're not capable of thinking like a person who, like the person who spoke, then you're not capable of translating what he said into other words and coming out with the same thoughts. For the process of communication begins with a thought, and then when that thought is formulated into words, it is then spoken by the lips, and then from there it is heard by the ear, and those words then are translated into thoughts to complete the cycle of communication. The number one problem then is having the same mind. And it is impossible to understand the mind of God unless you have the Spirit of God. That is 1 Corinthians 2, as we went into last Sunday. The Apostle Paul spoke that, and he said, no man can understand the things of God unless the Spirit of God be in him. And since the prophet does not come with his own words and thus his own thoughts, and can only say what God has told him to say, then unless the people have the same Spirit of the living God in them as it was in the prophet, they will in no way come to the place of understanding the things the prophet told us concerning the things of God. So this evening we want to go back to Ephesians 4 again and resume our study where we began Sunday morning concerning the faith to receive the true fivefold ministry. But before we go to Ephesians 4, let me read again what Brother Bram said concerning how the light of the hour travels from the prophet messenger to the people. From Brother Bram's book entitled The Seven Church Ages, he said, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. And from the same study in the seven church ages, Brother Brown said, now watch, it's the church speaking to him now. Waters, Revelation 17:15, said, waters, it means the thickness and multitudes of people. Now his voice, or this being that was standing there looking like this, Christ in his church, as a bride and Christ being one, like husband and wife is one, the church of Christ being molded together with one person, the same Holy Spirit, and the things that Christ did, the church does also. Did you see it? That beautiful church there in holiness and power and majesty was seeing visions and signs and wonders, everything just like he did. Here it is on the earth, giving all praise to God, saying, I can do nothing except the Father show me, but he showed me, and here it is. And they come. And they come see these things going to take place. Now Christ molded into one, and the voice, and many waters, many people, not just the one. It was the whole church, the seven churches molded together as one great ransomed body of the Lord. The Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterian, all is born again with the Holy Spirit, speaking with the power of God. That's the body. That's the body. Therefore God ordained a ministry for the church, and will bring the church to a full spiritual maturity through the instrument of what he calls the fivefold ministry that he has gifted to the church. Now, the word fivefold ministry appears nowhere in the Bible, yet the Apostle Paul speaking concerning these five gifts to the church, which are offices in Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, for the next few minutes, I would like to read from chapters 4 and go into detailed study of the exact wording of the Apostle Paul as he spoke concerning the fivefold gifts of the apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors. And actually, what a pastor is, he is actually a teacher-pastor because he is one who must be able to teach the word that Paul brought in order to produce in the people who they're hearing God's word an experiential relationship with the Father by understanding of the role of the firstborn Son of God and then recognizing the role in the family of brethren. Now from Ephesians 4 and verse 11 we read, "And he gave some, an unspecified number, to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers." Now, this is important to understand that what each of these gifts is by definition, for Brother Branham spoke to us concerning these five gifts to the church that God predestined to be there for a specific purpose, as he said in his sermon, "Speak to This Mountain," where he said, the Bible said there's five offices in the church that is ordained of God and put in the church, office holders. First is apostles and prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. They're God's foreordination. By predestination, by foreknowledge, he saw it. He placed it in the church for every age. In the local church, there's nine spiritual gifts that operate in the entire body, speaking with tongues, interpretation of tongues, and all the different works of the Lord, the gifts of prophecy. Now, there's a difference between a prophet and a gift of prophecy. Gifts of prophecy can be on one and then on another, and then it has to be judged before three judges before the church can receive it. But not the prophet of the Old Testament. He was born a prophet. He always was a prophet. He had the word of God, and after he's dead, he's still a prophet. As God said in his word to the prophet Jeremiah, in verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Again, Brother Brown tells us in his sermon, as an eagle stirs her nest, he said, "Now, God is good. He sends his word." Now, we know that God sent his word in this hour through a vindicated prophet, for God himself came down with a shout, which is a message. And according to Amos 3 and 7, the Lord will, God will do nothing until he first reveals it through servants of prophets. Now, let's continue with what Brother Brown was telling us. And notice he says, if you won't believe his word, then when, after he has sent his word, he does something to ensure that you'll understand it, like a follow-up and action to ensure that you understand what his word is telling you, that he sent down through his prophet messenger who came on the scene with his word. So notice again, he said, if you won't believe his word, then he puts in the church. Now notice these gifts or offices are placed in the church by God himself. He are foreordained them, and he predestinated them to come at the right time, and they're for a purpose. Now, the foreordained and predestination are two different words, and they mean two different things. First, God foreordains, then, and that means, first of all, God chooses, then after he has chosen, he predestines. Now, God chose us when we were still in his thoughts before the foundation of the world. Then back there, God predestined us to come forth and reflect what he wanted reflected through each ministry of the fivefold ministry. Now, let's continue with what he said here. Notice he says five different offices. First, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. They are for the perfecting of the church. And in each local body, he put nine spiritual gifts in the local body. That's gifts that goes from one to the other. But these, the five ordained offices, he says, are ordained and predestined of God. Gifts and callings are without repentance. You know that. Sure they are. Now, then God sets them in the church. Okay, so these five offices that God has ordained has also predestined them to bring about a perfecting or a maturing of the church. Now, we're going to go into this in more detail in another sermon, but simply, he means that the fivefold ministry will equip the church in such a way as to bring them forth to a full maturity. So that's the outcome that God expects from his fivefold gift to the church. And that is what the true fivefold ministry are to be working towards with the body of Christ. Now, notice that Brother Branham differentiates between the nine spiritual gifts in each assembly and the fivefold ministry itself. Notice it says, now then, God sets them in the church. And we know, as the Apostle Paul tells us in verse 12, that these fivefold gifts to the church are, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, And if they are sent by God for the perfecting or maturing of the church or for the work of the ministry, then you cannot expect the maturing of the church without them, for they are the means by which the church is to come to maturity. Remember, Brother Branham always taught us God is a provided way. And you know, we always want to say, well, that's just his prophet. No, it's God is a provided way. It's in his Bible. You've got to go by his Bible, what his Bible says. So let's just read from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, another, where Brother Branham said, then besides that, he's got five ministerial offices. First is apostles or missionaries. The word apostle means one sent. A missionary means one sent. Secondarily, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and so forth. Those are God-given gifts that's set into the church. They're predestinated of God and set to the church. You can't make yourself a minister. God's got to call you to be a minister. Now notice that those are God-given gifts that's set in the church. They're predestinated of God and set to the church. You can't make yourself a minister. God's got to call you to be a minister. That is the main problem that we have within the message today, is that God is supposed to place within the church these five ordained offices in order to bring the bride to maturity. But the people have missed this fact and have thought that they can elect people to these offices and it will be satisfactory with God, but it's not. The Bible says that God elected and predestined these gifts to the church, and yet men think that they can get in by a vote, and when that happens, politics has entered into the church right there. There are men out there who have leadership spirit and not the Holy Spirit and have assumed leadership roles over flocks by the will of man and not by the will of God. And the people think because they can vote a man into the office that God is responsible for equipping that man for the office, and it doesn't work that way. And that is why so many ministers have ended up in the trash heap, because they followed the leading of men and not the leading of God. We just read where Brother Branham said you can't make yourself a minister. God's got to call you to be a minister. God alone has something to do with you either being called or not being called. And no matter how much you might be able to speak in front of a crowd or how much you can organize a group of men into doing some form of agenda, that has not one thing to do with God. And that doesn't hold water with God. The apostles themselves even voted on Matthias to take the place of Judas, but God chose Paul. It seems to me that voting for an office is kind of a political thing anyway. God set in the church doesn't have one thing to do with the people voting at all. The Bible says that God set in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, period. Now, we'll just read it for ourselves, 1 Corinthians 2:28. And God hath set in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, etc. Notice that God has set in the church, and that means God does it. So it cannot be the vote of man. And notice it says first apostles, but we have people who think first teachers. And that's totally incorrect. It says thirdly teachers. I'm not trying to put myself up, and I'm not trying to put anybody else down. I'm just saying, say what the Bible says. All right. I remember years ago, a certain fellow told me, he said, the word of the Lord comes to Brother Vale because he's a teacher, and then it goes out to the ministers. And I told the brother, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the word of the Lord comes to the prophet. And then from there, it goes out by those who have been faithfully taught. But most of those who fill these roles today are not placed in those roles by God from birth, but are placed in those roles by being voted in by the people. And that is very evident because they do not preach a balanced message like a true God-called man would do. They take here and they add there, and then the people, instead of coming to maturity, the people become either bound or structured so much that they become so loose that they bring forth a bad testimony. Now this next quote is for the tapes only people, because they believe that they can come to the maturity on their own. But God's prophet said in his sermon, Thirsting for Life, he said, people say, well, I can stay at home, be just as good as Christian as I can at church. You can't. So right there, the prophet of God said, you can't be as good a Christian staying at home and listening to your tapes as you can going to church. The Bible said, not forsake our assemble ourselves together, and that much more as we see the time coming. If you're a Christian, you long to go where other Christians are and fellowship with other Christians. So you cannot stay away from church and live the same life. You can't do it. Because it's like, well, I'm hungry, but I'll never go to the table. I will never eat. I ain't going to do it. See, you've got to go and feed on the Word of God and fellowship with one another. We need one another more now than we ever did. We need each other is now. When you get yourself singled out from the rest of them, making yourself just a little different, You don't want to associate with them because they believe this, or don't want to associate with that, you're getting on dangerous ground. Right then, keeping away from church. Find the one of your choice and remain there and be a Christian brother to all of them. That's the way to be a real Christian. Then we've got fellowship, protection, people love you and pray for you. And we have all seen people pull away from church and begin to pick here and pick there, and pretty soon they hop from one church to another and they find fault from this church, they find fault from that church and everywhere. Well, that's a very destructive thing to do, and the prophet said, don't do that. He said, learn to have a little grace in your heart for others to be different from what you are. And if the preacher says something that you might not like, first of all, before even allowing any criticism to arise in your heart, go to the scripture and see where he's coming from. Then once you are sure the scripture teaches it different from what the pastor may be teaching, then go to the pastor and talk about it. Many times people have thought the scripture says one thing, and when they come to the pastor, they learn that the scripture and the prophet never said it the way that they're thinking it was said. And I've always said, if you don't understand the message from the Bible, then you don't even understand the message at all. You've got to be able to take it back to the Bible. Again, from his sermon, Identification, Brother Branham said, if you don't have a church, you must see that you'll die spiritually. You'll just dwindle away if you don't have a church. Why don't you go and talk to them? They'd be glad to help you. They're brothers in Christ, and they'd be glad to help you. Isn't that right, brethren? Yes, we're happy to help you and help you along. Do anything that they can for you. They're good, faithful men. Someone who will watch over your soul and care for you. Do that. But will they do it? No. And why won't they do it? Because they don't want somebody to watch over their soul. And that's just a fact. Again, Brother Graham said from his sermon, be not afraid. He said, and another thing I want to say before I ask you or say again. Now, first, faith cometh by what? By hearing the word of God. Now, that ought to be sufficient. It would be for me. It would be for you. If they don't believe your word, just let them alone. But that isn't so with our Lord Jesus. No, it isn't. It isn't so. He sends gifts in the church. There's no one can deny that gifts isn't in the church of the living God. 1 Corinthians 12 says that there's 9 spiritual gifts in everybody. And there's also 5 spiritual officers in the church. There's first apostles and missionaries. Both of them means the same. The word means one sent. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. They are all God's ordained gifts to the church. Pastors, evangelists, prophets, and missionaries, apostles in the church. Those are sent there. And then there's 9 spiritual gifts in every local body. So what are these 5 spiritual gifts placed for in the church? In Ephesians 4 and 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Then if they are sent by God for the perfecting of or maturing of the saints, then you tell me how the saints can be perfected by means of being matured without God's provided way of doing it. And God also sends these 5 offices to do the work of the ministry. And if that is so, and it is so, then they will have to do just what Jesus did, for he was our example seed. Now, from his sermon, Questions and Answers, Brother Branham said, there is 5 offices elected of God. For God has set in the church apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists. God did that. Man has deacons and so forth and everything else. But you see, God set in the church for the perfecting of the church. You can't divide it. And as Brother Branham said in his sermon, taking on the whole armor of God, he said, John 14:12, Jesus said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. What is it? It's God in the church in these 5 predestinated offices, backing up every word that he said with the Holy Spirit himself in there, which is the word made manifest, proving his resurrection, proving that he lived. Well, if Brother Branham says that that's God in the fivefold ministry, then how can people say that's not even in the fivefold ministry? It's in a vindicated prophet for the hour. Well, it's in him, but it's in the fivefold as well. All right. In fact, it's for everybody. So not only John 14:12, something that was not given for just one man to do, but here we see a prophet of God, vindicated by God. He said that it should be evident that the 5 offices that God has placed in the church, John 14:12, Jesus said, he that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. He said, what is it? It's God in the church in these 5 predestinated offices, backing up every word that he said with the Holy Spirit himself in there, which is the word made manifest, proving his resurrection, proving that he's alive. And then Paul goes on to give additional reasons for the 5 offices God sets in the church by saying, for the edifying of the body of Christ, and that is exactly what the prophet William Branham also said, and edify means to build up. He said, from God's only provided way of healing, he said, gifts and callings are without repentance. Those things are first given of God. them offices as set in the church by God. And in my opinion, there's where so many this day has made a mistake. When we say, now, I will go over and seek for God to make me this or that, you cannot do that. See, you are what you are by the grace of God. Nothing that you can do within yourself. God gives. God has set in the church apostles and teachers and prophets. Is that right? God has set in the church for the perfecting. So not the bishop has them or the elder has or somebody else has, but God has. And they are. And these offices have been put in the church. So listen, my friends. Those who are listening to this sermon via the internet. Brother Branham is very clear who placed the fivefold ministry into the church for the perfecting or maturing of the saints. From his sermon, "Hear Ye Him," he said, "Now friends, there's five offices in the church, prophets or evangelists, pastors, teachers, and apostles, or missionaries, either one of you want to call it, both the same. God set this in the church for the perfecting of the church." Now I've heard some people say, well, they say the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the church, as if the ones who are saying it are wrong. But it's not the ones who are saying it. It's people are quoting a vindicated prophet of God, and they're quoting the Apostle Paul, who both said it. They are the they that these people should be quoting. All right? And to add to what Brother Branham said, to add to what I say, when Paul said to add to what I say, you're going to go to tribulation period. And to take away from what we say, your name should be taken from the book of life. People have got to be careful. So those who wish to teach their false doctrine that you must listen only to the tapes had better be careful, because they cannot back up what they're saying by the tapes, nor can they back it up by the scriptures. It is pure and simple a false doctrine to teach that you have the tapes only. When Bram said, say what the tapes say, and the Apostle Paul said, if anyone preaches any other gospel than what I have preached, let him be cursed. And if people say that they don't need a fivefold ministry to reach the perfection that Paul is speaking of, then they are denying God's provided way for it, and are not saying what he said, nor are they saying what Brother Branham said, because I've read you half a dozen quotes so far in this alone, where he said the fivefold ministry is placed in the church by God himself for the perfecting of the church. Now listen, not only a vindicated prophet of God and the vindicated Apostle Paul both said it, that the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. So I ask you then, how do you plan to be perfected without the means by which God has set in the church for the saints to be perfected? Now, if we were to say what is on the tapes and only what is on the tapes, then there is no place where you can deny what this vindicated prophet of God has said. And the Apostle Paul said, if you do not teach the same doctrine that I am teaching, you will be cursed. So we've got to say what he said. So, my brothers and sisters, let's get beyond the little camps and things which use the message to isolate their little groups from other groups. And let me say that the tapes-only doctrine is just as much an organizational camp as any other false doctrine camp is. False doctrine is false doctrine. And when any camp does away with or tries to minimize the true role of the fivefold ministry, they are preaching false doctrine. And that doctrine is contrary to God and His Word, which we have both in writing through the Apostle Paul and through the spoken word of the end-time prophet William Branham. And from his sermon, Faithful Abraham, Brother Branham said, by his stripes you were healed. Now, first the Word says so, that should be sufficient. But if you don't believe it in His Word, then there's gifts in the church, such as a man who is inspired to know how to teach that, that'll make it so plain to you, that and faith to believe prayer for the sick, just like for the sinner. And then there's other gifts in the church, like prophecy and different gifts. Now, these five offices of the church, missionaries or apostles, both the same, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, God puts those in the church, and they're all to edify the church. Now, notice again, Brother Branham is very clear that God not only gives us His Word, but then, because people may have a hard time to understand His Word, He gives us five gifts to break that Word down and simplify His instructions in that Word to make it so plain in order to build up your faith. And from a sermon, what is the works of God, Brother Branham said, now, there is a thing, knowing how to yield yourself, and some people are set in the church, some can yield themselves to preaching. Some can yield themselves easily to teaching. Some can yield themselves to prophesying. Some can yield themselves to other gifts. So all the gifts won't be alike. They wasn't alike then. Paul said they wasn't. But each man is called and placed into the church for a purpose. And if you'll find out what God can use him best at and yield himself to that place, he will be successful. My finger could never take the place of my ear, no matter how much it tried. Neither could my mouth take the place of my eye. But each member knows what it can do, and all of them coordinating together make the body move. And if this church could only see that, if you could only see what it takes, coordination, it takes cooperation with all the body of Christ. And when you can see that, you're becoming mature in the ways of God. But the immature person says, well, my prophet, my teacher never used those words to say it. So what you're saying is false. But when we understand, like we taught you Sunday, it matters not if you use the same words as long as you're getting across the same thoughts. The immature person, or Paul calls him carnal, he said, well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, or I'm of John, or I'm of Peter. He said, that's carnal thinking. Never, ever get your eyes on the vessel. Get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. You see, a prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, these are people. Although God may have placed the gift in a vessel, the gift itself is not the man. The gift is God in the vessel. God's the apostle. He's the pastor. He's the teacher. He does all these things, and he just uses a yielded vessel. And if the vessel's not yielded, he'll never manifest those things. From a sermon proving his word, Brother Branham said, what is a gift, Brother Branham? It's something that you know how to get yourself out of the way, and as long as you're there, it'll never work. William Branham is the greatest enemy that I've got, see? But when I get him out of the way, see, then Jesus Christ can use the body. Again, from looking unto Jesus, Brother Branham said, now many people have the wrong impression about a gift. A gift is not something that God gives you to go out and say, well, here, I'll go over here and I'll pick out this and I'll take this out and I'll do this. That's not gifts. So many people think that, but they're wrongly impressed. A gift of God is just to know how to get yourself out of the way so God can use you. That's all a gift is, see? As long as you're in it yourself, didn't Jesus himself say the Son can do nothing? St. John 5:19, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself. He passed by that pool where all them cripples was and healed one man with prostate trouble or something disease retarded. And he said, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. It's not me, he said, that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Therefore, when you see a true gift of God in operation, it is because the vessel that God has given the gift to has died to himself and has just yielded himself to the Holy Ghost for God to express himself through. But as long as you are personally stuck on this vessel or that vessel, it shows that you have not yet come to maturity, but are like little children. That is what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. Are you not yet carnal? For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, but Apollos watered, but it's God that giveth the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. But we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than what has already been laid, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare itself, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort that it is. If any man's works abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own conceits. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Again in his sermon, God's Provided Way, Brother Branham explains what a true gift of God is when he says, what is a gift anyhow? Not to take something and use something. You say, well, I got a gift of healing. I go out and heal this one and heal that one. Well, if I could, I'd certainly do it. But a gift, you misunderstand a gift. A gift is just get yourself out of the way and let the Holy Spirit use you. See, that's a gift. That's what a minister is. He don't preach what he wants to preach. He just gets himself out of the way. It's a gift. And inspiration comes and he speaks through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Any gift is the same way. Now, ministerial gifts and so forth has been, there's first of God-given gifts, first apostles and prophets and pastors, teachers, evangelists. That's the offices, that's their gifts. So the gift is not the person. It is the gift of God in the person. They're born with that. It's their nature. Brother Vail's nature was to be a teacher. He was a school teacher before he became a teacher of the Word. You see, it is a gift of God in the person that if that person can get themselves out of the way, then that gift will manifest to the people, and therefore the teacher doesn't have to say, well, I've got a gift of teaching. No, and he should not have to tell the people that. The gift should explain it to them. It just expresses itself. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:16, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. In other words, when a man yields to the giver, the gift will open doors before men to receive it. Then it isn't the one who has a gift, but the one who is yielded to the giver. Because you can have a gift to be an apostle, but until you yield to the spirit of the great apostle of our faith, you'll never manifest that gift that you're born with by foreknowledge and by predestination. In other words, you know, you can have a great gifts, but if you're not yielded to God, God can't use them. From his sermon, Harvest Time, Brother Branham said, now Satan's third scheme, now we'll get it quickly, because we don't want to take more time than possible, maybe another 15, 20 minutes. But if you want to go that far, now notice his third scheme then, or his third temptation, if the others had failed, this one won't, see. He now offers you a position in the church like he did Jesus. I'll give you the world. You be the king. I'll make you. They all belong to me, so I give it to you. Who can make a man a minister? Who can give a man a gift by laying hands on him? God has set in the church. See how they twisted the word. Like Eve now, with her new knowing, her knowledge, she had Adam at her sway. She could do what she wanted to. See, as soon as she got Adam to accept it. Now let me just stop here and go back one paragraph because Brother Branham actually gets into this a little bit, and it's really beautiful the way he lays it up. So, but notice Eve at this same stage. Carried away by her supernatural understanding, she had a theological experience. Her education was supreme to any theologian in the country at that time, see? And she was so carried away, she didn't even know it. She knew that she had something that Adam never had. Perhaps she'd be able to rule over him right now because she knew more about it than her Adam. Watch what their Adams are doing today. She knew good from evil, fine education of the truth. That's right. She had a fine education of the truth that she didn't know before, and it was God's truth. But she was dead by breaking the word. See, she got her education all right. So does a seminary give you a theological experience that you can quote every character of the Old Testament or New? But be careful what you're doing. If it don't break that word right there, if you do, just say, well, they just say, well, it's for them. No, it's for you. Whosoever will. See. Be careful. Oh, that was for the church long ago. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. She had a fine education, but she also was also dead in sin and trespass. All right, so Brother Branham is letting us know that, look, sometimes people get a spirit on them. And they get this anointing on them, and they think, hey, I've got something nobody else got. And then they start to put other people down for it. You've got to be very careful about that. And we've seen that same kind of talk where people say, well, John 14:12 was only for the prophet. But that's not what Jesus taught us. That's not what God's prophet taught. So stick with the word, my brothers and sisters, and don't get some super duper revelation from the devil that lifts you up in pride to think that you've got a great revelation and anyone who doesn't see what you see is going to hell. Because when you get like that, you're not a yielded vessel to God, but you're yielded to another spirit. Now, getting back to verse 87, he said, But when he comes to Jesus, he didn't accept it. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." In other words, let me not misquote it, but just add this to it. It's written, "Every man shall live by every word of God, not by your proposition." I'll make you a general overseer, or a presbyter, or a deacon, or I'll let you play the piano, sister. See, all these propositions. You're a very popular person, and we need your talent in our church. See, come to the word. She could rule him or teach him. He's talking about Eve here. She ruled Adam by teaching him the new false doctrine, and he entered into that sin with her, but she led him, and that is why he fell. Same as today's crop. That's the way that they do it today, to become a DD or a state presbyter or overseer or district manager or something another like that. Again, we see in the next paragraph that we quote from Brother Branham from Perseverance. He says, "A gift is getting yourself out of the way so God can come in." See what he shows, what he does. A gift is not, "I got power to do this," or "I got power." Your power of gift is to get yourself out of the way, and the gift that God has given you operates through that then. See, after you're out of the way. See. So, that is what you can expect from any true fivefold minister, is to make the word so plain that you catch the message and it builds up your faith. Now, if you're sitting in a church where that is not happening, then you may be sitting in a church where there's no true fivefold minister ordained by God to be there. It is not my job to point out who is and who isn't. My job is to point you to Christ and His Word and to make it as simple as can be done so you won't have any excuse to disbelieve anymore. So we see that the true fivefold ministry will break down the Word so that it is easy for the people to understand, and not only that, but Brother Branham said, in doing so, it will build you up in the faith. Again, from Infallible Proof of the Resurrection, Brother Branham said, it's yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit and He anoints. Just like any minister comes to the platform, he's got his subject on his mind, he yields himself to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit preaches through him. That's a pastor or teacher or evangelist, and apostle operates in the same way. Now, this next quote from Brother Branham's prophet, or God's prophet, Brother Branham, it tells us another purpose of God sending these fivefold offices into the church. That God sets in there. He says, the message, prophet like unto Moses, said, aren't called by the church or so forth, they are chosen by God. Apostles, second, prophets, third, I may not have that lined up just right, but third, I think, is teachers, and evangelists and pastors. Five spiritual offices in the church to set the church in order. Apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Those are called offices by God. Then in the local congregation, there is nine spiritual gifts at work among the people. Now, in these offices and places, in the offices you hear from the apostle, his ministry, you hear from the prophet, his ministry, from the evangelist, from the teacher, from the pastor, each has a separate ministry, and their ministries is of God. God has set them in the church for this purpose. Another purpose of God placing these five gifts in the church, he tells us, is to correct the spirit of the people. From Smyrnian church ages, that God never intended the church to be run by man. God runs His church, and He runs it through gifts of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit in the church is to correct the Spirit. He's got five ministerial offices in His church. And that is what the Apostle Paul said. And notice the Apostle Paul's admonition in 2 Timothy 4 and 2. He says, preach the word. Now, that's number one thing a fivefold minister is to do, is to preach the word. Then after the primary purpose of preaching the word or teaching the word, he says, be instant in season and out of season. And that simply means to be present, to be available to the people in season and out of season. In other words, the fivefold ministry can never retire nor just walk away from their duties, even though sometimes they wish that they could run from them. That also means that they don't just close down church services for any old reason, but they are to be there all the time unless called by God to travel elsewhere to preach the gospel, or the weather may be too dangerous for the people to travel the roads. Now, let's just close at this time, and we're going to resume at another time, because Sunday is Christmas Eve. So we'll focus our thoughts for that day on the birth of Jesus and what it meant for Mary and Joseph and what they had to go through in that day to have the promise of God manifested in them and through them in that hour. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you for your word. Lord, we know that sometimes we take these subjects and they're actually to help us to understand, Lord, the way that you're working through the church. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would take these words and may they bring forth fruit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee.